You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, via Zoom this week is...
Sesame Incarta.
Sesame Incarta. I'm going to say that again, folks. Sesame...
Incarta.
Okay, so how's it going, Matt? Sesame.
I'm doing somewhat okay.
Yes.
Somewhat.
So, it's a crazy world we live in.
Yeah.
Sidney Poitier and Betty White are no longer with us.
Yeah.
Neither is Peter Bogdanovich.
It's that whole three, you know. The trinity of death, it always seems like.
Yeah, which is a fallacy, in my opinion, because there's always more people, too, that they don't count.
No, it's true. It happens every 3 days, and then those are only three people that died.
In the whole world.
In the whole world, or even in the Hollywood world. No one else ever.
Yep.
You know, not some B actor that people don't remember or anything like that. You know, nobody in the...
No, the only people who have died recently in the whole world are Peter Bogdanovich, Sidney Poitier, and Betty White.
Yep. That makes sense. So that's interesting.
Not to mention all the people that died of COVID. But anyways,
just the millions and, yeah, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter because, you know, we're just going to live through this for, you know, probably the rest of our lives. So that's going to be a nice little fun little trip there. You know, 38 years old, probably going to be like 50 before this, you know, officially winds down. So that's cool.
And then we'll look back on it and we'll be like, hey, remember when?
Yeah, you remember that 12-year gap where there's like just one long... like string of time without any kind of break, it just extends.
Where it just seems like life never starts, never ends.
Yeah,
it's just there.
There's an actual effect. I don't know what it's called, but there's an actual effect like that. And when the pandemic first started a couple of years ago, that's true, deliberate statement there, 2 fucking years ago. There was an article that came out about how when monks, like Christian or like, I think Christian monks, maybe in France or England, I don't remember. There was like, especially the ones that they took like a vow of silence and they just meditated and prayed all day. They didn't really have like a social life like outside of their like monastery. There was an effect that they had noticed and they wrote about was like just like this sense of like just like timelessness, but like a very agitated version of it where it was just like just like an emptiness, like not necessarily sad or angry, but just like a, just restlessness. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, we're all experiencing this. I mean, or at least most of us are.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2 years of essentially living somewhat of a monastic life. And I mean, at least those who've been taking it seriously have.
And speaking of monks, Tony Shalhoub was in the show we're covering today.
Oh yeah, I forgot that we were actually covering a show and not talking about COVID.
Yes. So
I tell you what, though, this thing, this Omicron, it's like rushing through everyone. Like almost everyone I know in my family's got COVID now, except for like my parents and like my uncle, who he already got his COVID like way last year at Christmas time. And then my aunt got it about a month ago. She's a long hauler because she already has some issues already to deal with. And then my brother got it. And then my niece got it. And then his my sister-in-law got it. Well, they got it first. Then my niece got it. And then my step-nieces got it. All of them, almost all of them. And then my step-nephew got it. I mean, it's like, it's just rushing. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, Monk, yeah, this guy from Monk. Anyway, go on.
Yes, Tony Shalhoub, the star of Monk. Before he did that, he did this show. The show that we're covering today called Stark Raving Mad, which premiered on September 23rd of 1999. It also starred a post Doogie Howser, pre How I Met Your Mother, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, that transitional period. It was also pre Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle as well.
So. Yes. So it was before the Harrisance, as like I like to call it.
Harrisance.
the Neil Patrick Harris Renaissance. anywho, this we're covering the pilot of the show, Stark Raving Mad, which was really actually good. So what'd you think of it, Matt?
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, I only watched the first episode. They had a whole season, but it was decent. I thought for a pilot, it could have been a little bit better, but it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the better pilots we've watched recently. Yes.
Without a doubt.
The show actually had pretty good reviews when it came out. It wasn't, sadly wasn't a ratings, you know, bonanza. Like Bonanza was. Oh, wait.
It wasn't like Bonanza. Well, yeah, because it followed, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and people were eating that stupid.
Yeah, it was on at the same time as that. It was being beaten by that. It followed Frasier on NBC, and it was it was part of Must See TV, and it kind of like had that whole like pedigree of Must See TV, which was big back then in the 90s. Slapped on it, even though it was still a new show, so it wasn't like, you know, this isn't necessarily must-see TV, you know?
Yeah, not. Plus, too, Frasier's kind of already a show with a kind of, like stuffy, like, kind of, I don't know how to explain it, like, having two shows that are about kind of, like, upper scale type, I can't really describe it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like snooty people.
Right. Yeah, so it's like you need a show to kind of break that kind of, you know what I mean, just kind of mix it up a little bit, but they didn't do that.
So the show also starred Eddie McClintock as Jake Donovan, who was the he's the assistant. Okay, so the basic premise of the show is that Neil Patrick Harris is a writer's assistant or something like that at a publishing house, like an editor, who is forced upon this crazy guy with the last name Stark.
It's not Tony Stark.
No, it's Ian Stark, played by Tony Shalhoub. Neil Patrick Harris plays Henry McNeely, and they it's kind of an odd couple sort of thing where Neil Patrick Harris is like this kind of like, you know, germophobic guy, which is really interesting because Tony Shalhoub went on to play a germophobic guy on Monk.
Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris went on to play this kind of like womanizing, kind of like almost like carefree sort of guy on How I Met Your Mother. It's like they switched roles when they went on to their next projects.
Yeah, it is. I wonder if that was intentional or if it just
kinda
happened that way.
But what happens here in this episode here, Matt?
It starts off kind of just really right off the bat. He's like kind of arguing with his, like, I guess, editor-in-chief or whoever, who's just kind of laying down the law, you know, like,
well, yeah, and it, you know, it's interesting too, because this came out after, I mean, it aired after Frasier, and the woman who plays his boss also played Frasier's agent.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's just kind of laying down the law, like, saying, like, well, you know, this is your job. If you want to keep it, you know, you gotta go do it for this guy. Because he really wanted to edit this other guy's work, who was, like, more his speed or whatever. But he's like, no, just go to his house and see what's up. And then he goes over there, and he meets the assistant guy first, and he's kind of wondering, you know, if it's him, but then he kind of makes some remark about like, oh, good job on the book. I forgot what name it was, something about below ground or something like that, or above ground. And he's like, yeah, you know, it took me a while. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. Two years, that's really not a big deal. He's like, oh, no, like they used to make us read tons of books in high school, and it's like, oh, it took you 2 years to read the book, okay? And then,
is that weird? Because no, I'm joking.
I guess so. Well, if you're like a writer's assistant, you probably should be reading frequently. But
yeah. Oh, okay. So the fact that it's been taking me 2.5 years to read The Cat in the Hat is kind of a weird thing, right?
Yeah, it's not great, but you might want to get, you know, checked out for that. But yeah, you know, I mean, you might be more visual learner too, you know, so that could be, you know.
Yeah, I want to know how it ends. I'm waiting to find out. You know, don't ruin it for me or anything.
I won't. I mean, I'll ruin this show for everyone in a second. But so he goes in there. And then, you know, it's the early 2000s, so, like, a lot of comedies used to, like, make light of suicide. Like, it was, like, a joke, I guess, or whatever. So he sees the guy hanging from, like, you know, the ceiling. He starts freaking out. And then the guy yells at him. He freaks out more because, you know, an animated corpse is talking to him. And then he realizes, oh, he's doing it for, quote, research purposes, because he wants to, like, he wants to get inside the heads of the characters that he writes about. So he's like, and you'll see this, he does quite a few of little stunts like these throughout the episode. And there was just one little point earlier too that I wanted to ruin the show about. So, like, so when they're arguing about him doing the job or whatever, he says something like, I, you know, this is not what I had planned for my career or whatever. And his boss says, oh, well, I didn't plan on my son saving up for breast implants, but here we are. Nice little trickle of
yeah,
you know, transphobia. But 1999, that's probably actually pretty tame.
Exactly.
Still doesn't excuse it, but
especially context. I mean, it's kind of, especially after, like, the last show we covered on this, on our show, which was full of, like, stereotypes and
yeah, that show, I forgot about that
yeah.
already.
So yeah.
The
Veronica yeah, was... Veronica's video. Yeah, I mean, which was out around the same time as this, you know, I mean, in the same era, maybe a couple years before, but it's still it's
earlier.
Like
yeah, earlier actually.
Yeah. So, oh but God. I mean, the same basic time frame. So, it's like yeah.
Yeah, just 2 years shy.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, I wouldn't hold it against it. I mean, at that time, it, you know, like I said, that's pretty tame. I mean, we had shows on the air at that time where people were dressing up like women and being made fun of for it and stuff, too. So, you know, it's like.
You're right. Well, yeah, I'm at this thing where I'm at this point in my quote. I don't even know what you would call it. Just intellectual journey or whatever, where I'm pretty much like at the state where like I acknowledge it and I don't justify it, but I also see the context at the same time. And I know that might piss off a lot of people in either camp, where you either are anti-woke and everything's great and you just offend anyone that you want, or the other side where it's like anything that's problematic from the past automatically needs to be like deleted completely from history. I kind of take a middle approach, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just me.
I mean, Ace Ventura is still considered a classic, and that was very transphobic.
Oh my God! Oh, that one is super.
But
oh my God, yeah.
But the movie's still funny. You can't. You know what I mean, it's like you can't really, you know, deny that. So.
Well, I do actually, because I hate that movie.
Yeah,
actually.
But you know what I mean. It's still considered a classic, so it's like, you know what I mean.
I hate that role of Jim.
I will say you, it's not my favorite of his by any means, but yeah.
I'm so glad that he moved forward in different direction.
Yeah, but. So that mean that's around, you know, the same era of life. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And also too, there's an episode of Family Matters where they're like on like a roof party or something like that for some reason. Don't remember the details, but one of Steve's friends, what was the girl that he loved so much? It was what was her name?
Laura.
Laura, when I think it was one of Laura's friends, where his kid says, "Oh, my dad is a stewardess on an airplane." It's like, wow,
yeah,
it had nothing to do with what they were talking about either. It was just like a throwaway line, like it had nothing. Like there was no like at least like with Friends, with you know Chandler, there was like a whole theme behind that. Like it was part of the actual episode itself. Not just like a random anyway.
Yeah, I mean where Kathleen Turner played his mom. I mean his dad. So, right.
So yeah. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but yeah, I noticed these little barbs here and there from older shows, just like it's like a nice little time capsule, I guess you could call it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be all woke either, quote unquote woke. I'm just saying that it's interesting sometimes.
I mean, be careful, Matt, because if you go woke, you go broke.
Yeah, we're not allowed to be woke here in this here country right here. Mm-hmm. I saw a post earlier too, where people now are just throwing in the word woke in like context that doesn't even make any sense whatsoever. Like it's like just now it's like a catch-all term. Like you could be talking about like getting something from McDonald's and like they didn't make your sandwich right. You're like, these woke these woke Gen Zers, like, what's that got to do with your burger not tasting good? Like, it's wokeism. Like, okay. I guess, like.
Well, it's because the person that served it to me was a vegan, and, you know.
How do you know they're a vegan? How do you know that? I just do,
because, you know, look at the way they're dressed. They're wearing that their McDonald's uniform, and
wait, they all wear a uniform. Yeah, but
she wore it different than the other people, and
hell, you know, it's like a little bit of like crinkle here and there in his shirt. That's like their way of like advertising to like the others, like, oh, just like me and you, we're the same, you know, type of thing. So it's all part of the code of language that the wokeists do these days.
Go woke, go broke. Be vigilant, brother. So anyways,
the show.
Yeah. So this episode was actually, I thought, pretty funny. Yeah, it yeah, he shows up at the apartment of the of Ian Stark and meets the assistant, and then he finally meets Ian. He goes into his bedroom, and Ian's hanging from a noose. He's basically doing that as a, you know, as a way to, it's a fake thing, but he freaks out. Neil Patrick Harris's character breaks a lamp in the room by mistake because he freaks out. And, it turns out that it's a gag that he has because he's trying to see if it, you know, how people would react to finding somebody hanging. Because he's a horror writer and, you know, he wants to, you know.
He wants to do some research.
Yeah.
I was so worried that the show was going to go in that direction because I had no idea. I'm like, oh my God, is this going to be the show? Like, he just finds the author dead. and they got to figure out, like, what to do. Is he going to write the book now himself or whatever? No, didn't go that way.
I think we should write that sitcom. I like that one.
Actually, it's a good idea. That could be an idea for a movie or something.
Yeah.
We're like, we shouldn't be talking about it here. Now.
No. People will steal it. We'll talk about it later off air.
We can just edit this part out. And then.
Yeah. No. Speaking of which, do you want to take a break here really quick, Matt?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back.
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 Back in. Back.
No.
Hey,
no.
Yeah.
It's every AC/DC song ever. Okay, anyway, so,
pretty much.
Sorry, AC/DC fans. I know you like them. You like both the AC and the DC. You know. Anyway, so, what else happens in this episode here, Matt?
Well, like you said, it becomes like an oddball, you know, odd couple type situation where, you know, he doesn't really like Ian's Stark's process, because he really doesn't have a process at all. So, you know, he, you know, he, you know, What's Neil's character's name? What's
Henry? What's I believe
Henry is like very like organized, very stiff, you know, type of. So like he wants everything to be like, you know, set. Like you start work at this time of day, and you know this guy doesn't have any kind of process whatsoever. He just does whatever he feels like doing, and so pretty much, you know, days or weeks go by where, you know, he's really not getting any work done whatsoever, and Henry's just kind of just wasting his day just hanging out at this random dude's apartment. So they get into an argument about, you know, basically pointing out each other's flaws or perceived flaws, and Ian tells Henry that he's, you know, scared of everything or whatever, and that's why, you know, he's glad that he quit and stuff. And then Henry says, no, you're the one that's scared because you're afraid to actually write anything. That's why you're just wasting all this time procrastinating, because you're afraid that, you know, you did your one and only good work and nothing will ever follow that. And that is actually a fear of a lot of creators is, you know, I mean, I have that fear a lot too with my music. I always wondered that, you know, did I really do all my best stuff? And it's just everything from there is just like, cover, like almost like a cover band, you know, like version of like things, like just never gonna really top it, you know. so that, you know, Ian starts writing or at least like tape recording himself, you know, of his ideas that night, and then his assistant ends up breaking and entering into Henry's apartment, which is a felony.
It is? Well, shit.
Well, the window wasn't locked, so I guess technically it is breaking and entering, but also bad security on the part of Henry, which is weird because Henry's such a phobic of things. Like, he apparently he doesn't have a phobia of a lack of security, so that might be the one thing that he's not afraid of. So so he goes, shows Henry the notes and stuff like that. Henry starts pouring through it, doing like a sort of montage type of, scene or whatever. And he's like enthralled by it. He's like, this guy's brilliant and stuff like that. But then like they do like a little twist. He's like, but you still have to get me away from him. He's like, wait, why? He's like, I don't want to work with this guy. So it's like, wait a minute, you just said he was brilliant. Stuff like that. So she sends him, she lets him work with the guy that he really wants to work, but he's just like a total bore. And then Henry realizes that he needs that kind of chaos in his life, you know, the balance is order, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, you need to have the bitter and the sweet.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. Because, you know, you can't have either without the other.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, basically, then he comes back, and yeah, we go through like all these different things where there's different crazy things going on. My favorite thing was where there was a decapitated head scare.
yeah,
he hides inside the cushions of the couch with his Ian does with his head sticking out, and it's underneath a box. And Henry lifts up the box, and there's a, you know, Ian's like decapitated head sitting there. So,
you know how dangerous that is. What if someone sat on that and broke his neck and didn't know that there was a head sticking out of there, and just decided to sit down on all those boxes anyway?
Yeah.
So he's dead forever for real that time.
That would be karma, man. That'd be karma.
I wonder if that's where Always Sunny in Philadelphia got the idea of putting Danny DeVito sewed inside of a couch. His head was like popping out of the cushion because he couldn't breathe because he was sewed inside the couch.
I doubt there was any, but still.
Maybe not, but yeah.
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah. So, anyways, he comes back, realizes he wants to be there. He does this thing where he tries to do the hang himself thing at the end.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of spinning around on this thing because he wore the the harness wrong to make him look like he was hanging. And I did kind of find the joke funny. He says maybe this is why they always have women play Peter Pan.
I didn't get the joke.
Okay, so they have these harnesses so you can fly on stage. And the basic idea was that, you know, the harness is probably, you know, very uncomfortable on his junk. And
okay.
Yeah. So I actually found that kind of funny. Anyways, they end up leaving him hanging there.
Yeah, like, you know, which probably caused blood loss, oxygen, you know, to his brain, stuff like that. Could potentially have life-altering or fatal injuries, you know. So that's murder or homicide.
Right, yeah, there. I mean, that's how the show was going to end. The next episode, they were going to find out that Henry was dead. And, no, I'm joking.
They got to hide the body here. So that really becomes like a horror-type situation. How are we going to evade the law? How are we going to tell his boss, you know, that did he show up, you know, at any point? No, he never came by, you know. They got pay off the doorman and, like, the guards at the apartments. Don't, you saw nothing. You saw no one.
There is no Henry McNeely. There is no Henry McNeely.
There is. You know what reminded me? I don't know why when I just said you saw no one when I said that. So, like, you remember that really cool YouTube channel called Zach Morris is Trash?
Yes.
Which, sadly, I think is over because there hasn't been a new season in like 2 years, it seems like. But probably went through all the episodes.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, you know, I think I did that before that was even a thing. Because do you remember that song I made? Well, that song, that audio file I made like way back in like 2006, where it was basically like Zach and Slater accidentally killed Screech and they're like trying to figure out like what to do with his body. And like, Zach is basically like the bully in the situation, like telling Slater he's going to kill him if he doesn't keep his mouth shut. And like, I don't know. I'm just reminding me, like, I almost did my own kind of like Zach Morris's trash type of thing. But of course, my own weird Sesame and Carter way of doing things, you know, which is a much more darker
version
of stuff. You know? But
it's kind of weird, too. I mean, like, sad now that Dustin Diamond's the only one dead.
No, that's. I mean, this is way before.
No, I know, but it's sad now. Is what I'm saying, that you kind of almost predicted that.
Yeah. Well, no, in that one they accidentally killed them.
No, but maybe that's. No, I'm joking. No. Maybe we'll find out it was Mark Paul Gosselaar and Mario Lopez. Just joking. The guy who created Zach Morris's Trash, actually, they had a podcast it's been on a long hiatus right now, but called Zach to the Future.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
With you know, he was co-hosting it with Mark Paul Gosselaar, where they were going through each episode because Mark Paul had never watched any of the episodes. So
that is so amazing. You mean the perspective.
Yeah.
Would just my, especially the older ones from like 89, like 30 over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, he barely might remember like filming that scene, but has no idea what came out of it.
Yeah, he doesn't even remember filming them. Really, oh, wow. I mean, he kind of does, but he remembers more of the behind the scenes stuff than the actual episodes and like what happens in them and everything. It's kind of an interesting. Yeah, check it out if you like Saved by the Bell. It's an interesting podcast. I hope it comes back.
Yeah.
It's been on this really long hiatus. It's been off for like months. I don't know what's going on. But anyways, so because they did like two seasons and now they're kind of just I don't know. But
how many episodes do they review?
They're reviewing every episode. They started with they skipped the Miss Bliss season, but they they start with they might go back to it eventually, I'm sure. But they yeah, they skip those, and then they just, you know, they started with the first episode of Saved by the Bell proper, and go through every episode in order of airing. So, proper. Yeah.
No, what I mean is how many have they recorded so far?
I mean, they did two seasons, I think about two seasons, like maybe, they're on the like second or third season of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I think they're like halfway through the second season of the show of Saved by the Bell, that is. So, yeah. Anyway, so back to this show. So what were your final thoughts here on this episode, Matt?
It was pretty decent. You know, as far as pilots go, it was all right. It did feel a little bit rushed, especially like the montage scene. And it seemed like it came a little bit too early into the episode.
Yeah.
Like where they're hanging out. It seemed like that should have been something that was maybe in like 20 minutes into like a 40 minute episode. But, you know.
Well, it wasn't a 40 minute episode. It was a, you know.
No, no. What I mean is, if it were a 40-minute episode, gotcha. That would be like,
okay.
It just seemed a little bit quick to be like doing like a sort of buddy montage scene that quickly into a episode, especially the first episode.
Yeah,
like with like the whole thing where they're playing music and he's like playing like Joust or whatever. I forgot what they were doing, but like, it was like supposed to be like a cute like buddy kind of scene or whatever. And it was. So I just felt that kind of fell flat a little bit, but not too bad. And my only kind of complaint is that the episode is a little bit too short. I think it should have been at least like 22 minutes or something like that, not 20. But like,
well, that's dependent on commercials and shit like that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what I figured, you know, something like that. Especially back then, they used to show more commercials than they show now. And because back then they used to show like almost like 10 minutes of commercials, it seemed like a half hour. I think now it's like 8, I think, or whatever. But I just made that up. I don't know why I even said that. It just seemed like it made sense.
Sure, Matt, whatever.
See, even people who are not right wing can do fake news, okay? So, oh, wow, sorry.
I mean, back then, they used to have the commercials that would jump out of your TV and.
Yeah.
And attack you. It was like, you know, they forced you to go to the store and buy Pop-Tarts. It was crazy.
It was crazy. You go up, you'd be happy, you bought them, you're like, oh, I can always use Pop-Tarts, right?
So, yeah.
By the way, Pop-Tarts, please sponsor our show. Please.
Yes. You can sponsor us. But also, Kellogg's, pay your people properly and...
Yeah. Yeah. Quit being a bunch of fuckers.
Yeah, anyway, so... it's interesting. I really liked this show. And I do kind of vaguely remember watching it when it came out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read one review that I found here, Matt.
Okay.
Because a lot of these, are pretty good, you know, reviews. So, this one, however, it says pretty awful pilot. It's a 4 out of 10 from, Cheryl. This was written in 2018 and January 26th. There seems to be a lot of people who love this series, and mourn its cancellation, but after watching the pilot on YouTube, I don't see why. It's a very conventional sitcom with a pretty typical and unconvincing odd couple setup. Shalhoub is a terrific actor, and he's fine in this, but the script is very mediocre. Maybe it gets better. I have seen series that had bumpy starts, and perhaps all this love comes from somewhere. After all, the creator of the show created Just Shoot Me,
ooh,
which started off quite poorly, but improved after a few months. But I just have no inclination to give another chance to a series that is so predictable and obvious and unoriginal.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I don't agree.
From what I've read and what I remember from when this was on, it does get better with every episode. They add in other characters, which make the show, you know, like, Henry has a girlfriend, and there's other, you know, other characters added in, like a bartender and things of that nature that are main characters in the show that add to the whole thing. But one of the downfalls of that a lot of people complained is that it started to become more like a Friends or a, you know, or a Caroline in the City sort of show, where it wasn't as much focused on the two main characters as much as an ensemble. Which, you know, could be good or bad. So it becomes like it morphs from Odd Couple into Friends, you know, basically. So
yeah.
So yeah, anyways, any final thoughts here, Matt, before we wrap things up?
No.
Yeah. Like I said, I really like the show, and I mean, it's good that it didn't continue, though, because then we wouldn't have had Tony Shalhoub on Monk or Neil Patrick Harris on How I Met Your Mother, probably, you know?
Right, yeah.
I mean, we may have, depending on how long this lasted and whatever, you know, you never know. We should, you know, check in with Doctor Strange and see the multiverse where this show lasted.
Yeah.
And, you know, see if that, you know, maybe it'll be in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So it'll be like a random multiverse that they enter where Stark Raving Mad was like the number one show on TV.
See, I always wonder about that too. Like, it'd be really cool if they could explore that in multiverse, like things like different TV shows or like shows with alternate endings or different actors. Like,
yeah,
you know, they probably can't do it because of all the copyright laws, obviously. But like, you know, it'd be cool to like, if you live like, you know, on a different Earth 2 or what we would call Earth 2 or whatever, you know, Back to the Future has a completely different actor, or that the movie exists.
Like, the Eric Stoltz version of Back to the Future got made.
Yeah, or something like that. And to them, that's just the normal movie. That's the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
Or anything else, for that matter, TV shows, like Scrubs, you know, different actor or whatever.
Yeah. It's funny because I listened to a podcast, I mean, the other day, where Zach Braff was talking about how he almost got cast in a play on Broadway that would have prevented him from doing Scrubs.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, interesting world. I mean, it's kind of like the whole like Last Action Hero thing, where in that world, instead of Arnold being the Terminator, it was Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
Yeah, because Arnold Schwarzenegger is a character in the whatever, you know. So it's just a weird world.
Right.
I need to watch. That's another movie I want to revisit sometime. I really like that movie.
It was interesting. Which one? What was it called again?
Last Action Hero. Yeah.
Yeah, Last Action Hero. Yeah, I remember seeing that when I was younger.
Yeah. So
that was you're right. That was like a very meta concept for time. Like, that was like not a thing at all at that time. Like,
no,
it was very strange. Because then they made a video game so Last Action Hero, the video game based off the movie, who stars Arnold Schwarzenegger playing as himself. Like, it's like, whoa, man. Like,
So, any final thoughts here, Matt? Like, I think I already asked you that, but
I'll just play just one guitar chord really quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, it's out of tune. Damn it. Whatever. Here, this one's better. There we go. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you're playing?
Yeah, just that.
Okay. Anyway, so, folks, make sure you subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening to it right now. And, you know, if you want to subscribe to it on other ones, that's cool, too. I don't know why you would, but go ahead. Check out our website, all2real2.com. There's lots of links to all of our stuff there, our YouTube and our TikTok and our Bok Bok and our Beak Beak and our Duke Duke and our Doc Doc, you know, all those things. Wait, those aren't things, are they, Matt?
Our tubes and talks and tweets.
Yes. I've been putting up some random shit on TikTok too on our page just for the fuck of it. But, check out the latest one. There's an interesting little photo of Peter Bogdanovich and Orson Welles in a grocery store that I just wanted to comment on. which I'm thinking of making t-shirts of for some reason. Might be NRT public. You never know. Check it out. That's another thing you can link to. It's in our show notes. Go check that out. You know, buy stuff there. It'll help support the show. You know, check out our Patreon. You know, wear a mask, folks. Wear a fucking mask. You know, everybody's getting fucking COVID right now.
It's crazy. It's like just surging. Oh my God, man. Like I'm wearing it freaking everywhere now.
You could have it right now and not know.
It's not some like liberal, like virtual signaling either. It's like, I'm afraid to fucking go out and not wear one. Like,
I know, me too. Wear one. Wear a condom. You know, if you're going to get that close to somebody, wear a condom just all the time. And,
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, that doesn't sound right. Anyway. So, you know, be good to each other. Rest in peace, Sidney Poitier, Betty White, and Peter Bogdanovich and all the other people who died too. Yep. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.